Austin. Appreciate the good singing and the excellent prayer tonight by Brother Al. Welcome, everybody. We're glad to see you here tonight. We appreciate you being here, and we trust and pray that as we study this lesson together, that it will bring glory to God and there will be encouragement to each one of us. And we appreciate those who may be visiting with us tonight. I know you miss Mike. I tell you what, I just love to hear that man preach. And I'm looking forward for him to be back this Sunday, the good Lord willing. Certainly we want to pray for him. And thanks, Mary and Sam and Jackson and all this good family. Continue to pray for Mike's dad also. We've had so many. You know, Matt Taylor was telling me today, he said, you know, I don't really want to even look at the reminds very much anymore, because it's so scary that almost every day, what do you have? You have an announcement of someone that is extremely sick or has passed away. And we want to do everything we can to encourage everybody, those who are sick and those who are grieving. And thankful to the Lord that we have a good group like this. We're thankful for Jeff and for Tommy. And aren't we thankful that Tommy is doing better, Tommy and Shirley? Keep praying for everyone. Tonight, if you got your Bible now, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. One of the things that Peter always uses, it seems to me, is that word remembrance. I call these things to your remembrance. And now notice that he says in verse 2, that he may be mindful of the words, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Name this first. That was interesting. Well, Peter said, I want you, brethren, to know this first. What is it that you want them to know? Now look at what he has to say. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Somebody's coming. Who's coming? Scoffers. When are they coming? They're coming in the last day. Why are you so concerned about them, Peter? I want you to know this first. Now notice that he goes on to say, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Peter here tells us to beware of scoffers. And he tells them that he wants them to understand these people who are called scoffers. In the New Testament, there are two references. For example, here, as we just noticed, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust. So you can identify those that are scoffers as those who are doing what? Walking after their own lust. What are they saying? Here they are mocking. They're jeering. And the Bible tells us here, they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? We want to know. Why? You're going to hear people say, Peter said, they're these people who are scoffers, and what they're going to say is, we want to know this. We want to know about this one whom you preach and you teach. Knowing this, that, you know what? Where is the promise of his coming now? For since the fathers fell asleep, those who were so concerned about getting the world to know and understand that Jesus Christ would come again. Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Can't you just see them as they're mocking? See these people who are making light of that promise that God has given, and that promise is that Jesus Christ will come again. And now notice over in Jude chapter 1 and verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers or scoffers in the last time who shall walk after their own ungodly lust. They'll be walking after those things that they like. They'll not be concerned about what God likes. And these people are coming. And Peter said, I want you to know this, and I want you to know this first. A scoffer is defined as one who scoffs, one that mocks, derides or reproaches in the language of contempt, a scorner. Peter and Jude both, when they're writing to God's people, wanted them to beware of men who mock at God's truth and change it. Why do men do this? Well, the question is, they want their way. They want to walk their walk. Their purpose is to get men to believe them and walk as they walk. You know, today in America, you can find people that fall in that category. Where is this promise? Years and years. He's not here now. That's what a scoffer is. Why, the Bible is full of warnings against those who mock God, the scoffers. Hymenaeus and Philetus in 2 Timothy 2, 16 through 18. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred? What have they done? They have erred. And the Bible's saying, here's their error. What is it? Saying that the resurrection is past already. Who said that? Scoffers? Not God. And they're doing what? They're overthrowing the faith of some. That's the objective of the scoffer, is to do what? To overthrow the faith of those who believe otherwise. In number 2, Hymenaeus and also Alexander in 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have done something. All right, Paul, what have these people done? Notice this, which have put it away concerning faith. They have made shipwreck of their faith. And notice that he calls their names, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme or to speak against God. Their faith has been made shipwreck. Why? They're advocating and teaching something that is not in harmony with the will of the Lord. But thirdly, elders at Ephesus were told by the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. What's the purpose of elders? To feed, to whom? Feed the church of God. What? Which he hath purchased with his own blood. How important is the church? Anybody, when you read the word of the Lord, you know how important it is. It was so important that Jesus Christ gave his blood for it. And that he says, Paul said, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not the flock, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. What was their purpose in what they were teaching? To draw disciples after them. They were corrupt. They were perverse. Notice, the Bible tells us it's going to happen in the last days. Well, when were the last days? When we go to the word of the Lord in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days. The Hebrew writer says, these are those last days, the days in which we live, spoke unto us by His Son. God spoke to others, and He spoke to others by prophets, but now He's spoken to us by His Son in these last days. Whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. When will this happen? In the last days. We need to wake up. Surely, as Peter told him, I want you to know this first, that these scoffers will come and they will walk after their own ungodly lust. The scoffer refers to the one who denies the truth of God, denies the Scriptures, and entices others to go along with that error. And that is why the disciples wrote the truth, to defeat the error that was being pushed. I love this passage. I decided I just wanted to read the whole text in verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. Notice that the Bible says here, this know also, that in the last days, there's our expression again, when are the last days? God spoke unto us through His Son in these last days. Paul now, as he's writing to Timothy, he said, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. What? Men shall be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What, Paul? In the last days. When are those? Right now. Yes, my friends, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The crowd are advocating what? The crowd is advocating things that God detests, teaches against. And Peter says, I want you to know that the scoffers are coming. And Paul says, here they are. They're in the midst of people that reject God. One of the sad passages of Scriptures is found in Romans 1, 21 through 22. Although they knew God, can you imagine? When a person knows God and then denies Him, when a person understands that there is a God and yet not fear Him, when an individual says in his heart, there is no God, a fool, Psalms 14, verse 1, when the Bible says in Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. I know there is a God. I know that Jesus is His Son. And I know that the Holy Spirit of God has guided men to write down the words that we have. And their foolish hearts were darkened, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Let me just use a couple examples. Scoffers have tried to redefine marriage. Marriage is honorable in all men. How do you know that? That's what the Bible says. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. What is marriage? I get people sometimes, I can't understand how you can read the Bible and think of two men in a marriage or a marriage, or two women in a marriage. And yet in America, what do we have? Today, people even looking up to relationships and call them marriage. Not in God's sight. And then gender change. Wasn't it wonderful to read in the Word of God about how He has made man and woman? He didn't make the man to change into a woman, nor a woman to change into a man. Friend, hear the scoffers. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1 verse 27, so God created man in His own image, in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. What did God create? Did He make a mistake? Absolutely not. Who are males? Those who have been born as God has created them. Who are females? Those whom God has brought into this earth. How tragic to see even in our day so many people changing God's law concerning marriage. And then, you know what you hear so much in religion? You just do what you want that satisfies you. You know, worship and service in religion is supposed to be to God. We're supposed to be satisfied in doing everything we can to God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is the thing that is acceptable to God. Not to man, but to God. Our worship is not to please us, but our worship is to please God. In John 4, 23 and 24, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship in spirit and in truth. For such does the Father seek to worship Him. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. One of the sad things is going to be when God, through His Son, as the book of God is open in that day, to see Jesus and to hear the Lord, who's going to be the judge. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Matthew 7, 21, verse 23. But look what happens in verse 23. Jesus said, I will say to these people, I don't even know you. And what? That'd be a horrible thought. To be standing there, saying, Lord, I've done this and I've done the other. And Jesus said, I don't even know you. Why? Because they did it to please themselves instead of doing what God wants to please Jehovah God. Help me out with the next slide, if you don't mind, Eddie. There it is. How do we combat scoffers then? Number one, may I suggest to you, I guess I'll still need a little help, brother. Thank you. We hold fast to the Word of God. We've got to do that. Absolutely essential. In 2 Timothy 4, 7, 8, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. We hear Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It is not in vain to serve God. Why? That's what the Bible says. I tell you what, how many of us have been to the cemeteries recently? Standing there, trying to do all we can to encourage people who've lost loved ones. I'll tell you, there's not a single one that would ever want a loved one to leave this world and not be able to have that hope of living with God. Secondly, we need to study, meditate, and increase our knowledge of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Back in the book of Joshua, in Joshua 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What do you want in life? I know, I hope. We want to be faithful to God to the very end. Why? Because we know that we'll hear the Lord say, well done, when we've done well. Truth must be taught. We must know it. In the book of Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All right? When you look at truth, you know it's God's Word. John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. It frees us. Thank God for it. John 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Isn't that glorious? Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth, and sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Why? It's that valuable. In the Bible tells us in Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield who put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Proverbs 30, 5 and 6. And we hear the Lord saying in John 14, 1 through 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No wonder the psalmist says in Psalms 119, verse 11, Thy word have I, what? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. In Psalms 119, verse 9, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Well, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And no wonder the psalmist concludes, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalms 119, verse 89. Yes, beware of scoffers. When are they coming? Oh, they're here. What are they going to be doing? Teaching false things. To do what? To draw disciples after them. Today, we have constant access to media, to the internet and other forms of technology, providing an open platform for anyone with an opinion, and scoffing at everything once thought was honorable. It's not uncommon for someone to make a statement that's diametrically opposed to the Word of the Lord, and then have a host of people, I like that, they'll say. Why? Yes, they're scoffers and trying to get the approval of others. Let's never forget what Peter said and what Jude writes about. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Yes, there are those today that scoff, make fun of the coming of Jesus Christ, but He's coming again. There are those today, my friend, who can read in the Word of the Lord in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Stop there for a moment as we conclude our lesson. Stop there for a moment and consider what is being said. They're looking, and what happens to Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God? He's ascending, and the cloud overshadows Him. And then these men in white apparel tell these brethren, He's coming again. And thank God, it's the same Jesus, the one they saw go up. For this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Yes, He will come again. Tonight, as we conclude, let us look at this book. Let us study more and more God's precious truth. Hide in our hearts. Walk by it and do God's will. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, won't you obey the gospel? And tonight, if we can help you, if you're a child of God, and you need us to pray with you and for you, we'll be delighted to do that. Won't you come while together we stand?